Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, and it's on page 1053 if you want to follow it in the church Bibles. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord.
So, like many people, I remember the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus since I was young. Plus, of course, a song by Ishmael called Zacchaeus. But after studying it for today, plus taking into account all the cultural context, as well as what happened immediately before today's passage, it becomes a lot more detailed and a lot more controversial. And that's one of the things that I love about the Bible. There's always something more to discover, always another layer that can be peeled back. Plus, as it's the living word of God, it can say something different to us every time we read it. So before we dive into today's passage, I'd like us to take a step back to the previous chapter. First, we get the incident of the rich young ruler who wanted to inherit eternal life. When he was told to sell everything, give the proceeds to the poor, and then follow Jesus, he went away very sad. Then Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." What is humanly impossible is possible with God. And then we get the incident of the blind beggar. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, approaching Jericho. And he was on the road just outside the town when the blind man, who Mark tells us was called Bartimaeus, calls out to Jesus to have mercy on him. The more the crowd told him to be quiet, the more he shouted, until Jesus had mercy on him and healed his sight. And that's where our passage today starts. Jesus was now in Jericho, just passing through. He has no intention of staying there. Now, in Jericho, there was a wealthy tax collector named Zacchaeus. Now, the way the Romans collected their revenue was basically tax farming. Each area was required to give a predetermined amount of tax to Rome, and that would be collected about once a year. And a local person was appointed to collect this amount for his area. The thing was, only this person knew the actual amount that was required, so he could add as much or as little to the amount as he pleased, and no one would be any the wiser. So as you can imagine, these tax collectors weren't the most popular of people. The Jews hated these taxes with a passion, not only the amount, but because they went to support a secular government and their pagan gods. But they were still forced to pay them. The tax collectors themselves, although fellow Jews, were considered collaborators and traitors. If this wasn't bad enough, they were also mistrusted by the Romans, as they worked for them against their own people. And then we have Zacchaeus. We are told he was wealthy, so he must have been adding more than his fair share to the tax burden. He was also a chief tax collector, so had others under him. He probably decided how much money he'd like on top of the tax, and then told his subordinates that's the amount they needed to collect. And naturally, each one of them added their own commission to the tax. So no wonder Zacchaeus was both wealthy and hated. Now, Jesus had been preaching for around 3 years, talking to anyone and everyone, going out of his way to include the poor and the outcasts, those on the fringes of society. No matter who you were or how far you'd fallen, Jesus was still willing to minister to them. And it's the same today. If you've had a colourful past and you don't know Jesus, he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. He's just waiting for you to invite him into your life as Lord and Saviour. If you are a believer and have fallen away or you're feeling distant, Jesus still loves you and he wants to restore you. Just confess you've gone astray and ask him to draw you back to him. Although Zacchaeus would have been considered by nearly everyone as an oppressor, he would have felt oppressed himself by his superiors, the Romans, and also by his subordinates, his fellow Jews. No wonder he wanted to see Jesus. So desperate that he was willing to throw all dignity aside, but I'll come on to that in a minute. Now we learn something else about Zacchaeus. He was a short man. Remember, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a large crowd was following him. It was a crowd who rebuked the blind man and then praised God when Jesus had healed him. The crowd would have grown bigger as Jesus passed through Jericho, perhaps some of them even preparing banquets just in case Jesus stopped there. Now, normally, an influential man would have been given a front row place, or people would have moved aside to allow him through. As Zacchaeus was a short man, he would have been towered over by the crowd. However, as he was hated by everyone, no one would have made room for him or let him through. And he couldn't just barge past people. He'd have felt vulnerable enough as it was, as tax collectors had to watch their backs, especially in large crowds. So what was he to do? He only wanted to see Jesus. As Jesus was just passing through Jericho, Zacchaeus decided to run on ahead of the crowd so he could find a good view. This was controversial. A grown man would not run. To preserve his dignity, he should have walked, but not run like a child. You remember the story of the prodigal son in chapter 15. When the boy's father saw his son a long way off, he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. That was just a parable with a man running, but this was an actual incident. The next controversial thing, Zacchaeus climbed a tree. This was as bad as running. Children climb trees, but not adults. They wouldn't even climb a tree in the privacy of their own walled garden, let alone in public where they might be seen. What on earth was he thinking? Well, quite simply, he was so desperate to see Jesus that he didn't care about convention or what people would think of him. We're specifically told it was a sycamore fig tree. Now, I believe that every word and number in the Bible is there for a reason. So why this kind of tree? After all, sycamore fig trees are only mentioned a handful of times in the whole Bible, and a couple of those are repeats. Well, there's a couple of things that we can learn. Firstly, we have an idea of the distance that Zacchaeus ran. Now, the Mishnah is a collection of all laws which supplemented the Torah. Now, although they weren't written down until much later, they were learned and adhered to in Jesus' time. And there's a reference in the Mishnah which says, a tree may not be grown within a distance of 25 cubits from the town, or 50 cubits if it is a carob or sycamore tree. So it would be at least 50 cubits, 75 feet, or just under 23 metres, outside of Jericho. Perhaps Zacchaeus had hoped the crowd would have dispersed a bit by then. And secondly, we come to the character of the tree. Sycamore fig trees were large trees with low, widespread branches, and they had large leaves. So a short man like Zacchaeus would have found it fairly easy to climb up into one of the trees and hide amongst the leaves. So there was Zacchaeus, waiting up a tree, hiding amongst the trees, hoping that nobody would spot him. But most of all, hoping he would get a glimpse of Jesus. But things rarely go to plan, do they? Jesus came to the tree, looked up, and called to Zacchaeus in front of everyone. His cover was blown. Imagine the jeering, finger-pointing crowd. Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector, had climbed a tree. He couldn't even manage to hide properly. Jesus, however, was having none of it. "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Stunned silence from the crowd. What was that? Did he just say what I think he just said? Notice the urgency here. Jesus said he must, and Zacchaeus immediately. There was no hesitation or delay. Jesus recognized Zacchaeus' desperation to see him, how he'd been willing to risk and received public ridicule just to get a look at him. "Then I must stay at your house." Now, I believe there are divine appointments that God has arranged for us. Sometimes we'll recognize these as such. Sometimes we won't know until we look back. And sometimes we might never know. And I believe this is one of those appointments. Jesus had left Jericho without stopping. So all the banquets had been cancelled as he obviously wasn't stopping. Then he saw Zacchaeus. Perhaps he didn't stop in Jericho because he knew about Zacchaeus waiting up a tree. Or perhaps he spotted him hiding up there and changed his plans. We're not told. Jesus saw him and recognized his immediate need to be restored. Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. Now, normally, the townspeople get together and agree amongst themselves who should host the visitor, determined on whether they could provide the necessary level of hospitality due to the visitor. Not for the first time, however, Jesus ignored all this and invited himself over. Zacchaeus couldn't believe his luck. Immediately, he came down and welcomed Jesus gladly. The Greek word used here for gladly better translates as rejoicing. Zacchaeus rejoiced at Jesus wanting to come to his house. Quite naturally, all the muttering from the crowd against Zacchaeus was now directed towards Jesus. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Notice the past tense here with "has gone." Time has moved on, and they're now at Zacchaeus' house. Also, the word used for "to be the guest" actually means to find lodging. This wasn't just a quick stop to get a bite to eat before moving on. This was Jesus staying the night with a sinner. Now, if you came in contact with a sinner, especially by entering their house, you too would be considered unclean. Jesus didn't care about what they thought, though, and often made a habit of staying with sinners. Besides, when Jesus comes into contact with things unclean, he doesn't become unclean, but rather they become clean. Remember his first meeting with Matthew, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus' response to the same criticism was, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And I'll be returning to this statement at the end. Not only had Jesus drawn the grumblings from Zacchaeus onto himself, but he had willingly defiled himself at least in most people's view, for Zacchaeus' sake. That's how much Jesus loved Zacchaeus, and that's how much he loves you. For your sake, for the sake of your salvation, Jesus willingly allowed himself to be flogged by the Romans and crucified on a cross. For a Jew, that was the ultimate humiliation. As it says in Deuteronomy, anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. Well, that was the only way to defeat sin and Satan, the only way to provide a way back to God for us. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and invited himself around. Zacchaeus responded with rejoicing. For those of you who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, he is calling you now by name. He wants to come into your life and your heart. The question is, how are you going to respond? Verse 8 tells us the fruit of Zacchaeus' response, and it was above and beyond what the law required. He stands up, indicating that they were reclining at the banquet, and addressed everyone. He pledges to give half his possessions to the poor and to reimburse those he cheated, of whom there were many, four times the amount. The law, as recorded in Numbers, says they must make full restitution for the wrong they have done, add one-fifth to it, and give it to the person they have wronged. Zacchaeus' response to Jesus' generous love and forgiveness was generosity with his restitution, rather than just what was legally required. Now, Jesus' response to this has several meanings. When he says, "Today salvation has come to this house," he is not saying that Zacchaeus' restitution allowed salvation. That would be salvation by works, which the Bible doesn't teach. What he is saying is that salvation has already come by Zacchaeus' acceptance of Jesus, and his generosity is the evidence or the outworking of that salvation. Jesus then affirms Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham. This would have been an uncomfortable statement for most of the crowd. First, many of them would not like to admit that this hated tax collector was a fellow brother, a fellow son of Abraham. Second, they would not have liked to admit that a son of Abraham could have become lost. Zacchaeus may have been ostracized by the community, but in God's eyes, he was once again accepted and welcomed back into God's family. Just as Abraham had believed God, so had Zacchaeus believed Jesus. So in every sense, both ancestrally and spiritually, Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. And that was part of Jesus' mission on earth. Just as in chapter 15, the good shepherd left the 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep, Jesus had sought and found Zacchaeus. Jesus ended by repeating what he said earlier in Matthew's house, that he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus loved Zacchaeus, despite all that Zacchaeus had done and all that he was. Jesus saw the potential in him, saw someone who was so desperate to catch a glimpse of him that Jesus had to respond. Jesus didn't care what the world thought about Zacchaeus. He was only interested in what Zacchaeus thought of God. Jesus extended him something that he probably hadn't had from anyone for years, love. And that made all the difference to Zacchaeus, and there to be rejoicing in heaven. As Jesus tells us at the end of the parable of the lost sheep, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who do not need to repent. So there's a message and challenges for everyone in the story of Zacchaeus. The challenge for us is, how do we respond to people we come across who are on the fringes of society? Those ostracised by other people. Those everyone else either avoids or makes their lives unbearable. Do we do what Jesus did? Disregard what the world thinks and show them compassion and love? We, as a church of the risen Lord Jesus, represent him on earth, so should respond to people the way he did, especially those we don't consider deserve it. Now, I know in the past we've had people choosing to worship here because they've been made to feel unwelcome everywhere else. That's good, but we just can't rest on our laurels. We still need to honestly ask ourselves if we still provide that kind of acceptance, not just to those who choose to worship here, but also to those we come across in our everyday lives. For those of us who already know Jesus and have gone astray or become lost, the message is, it's all right. Whatever you've said or done, however far you've fallen, Jesus still loves you and is calling you back to him. If you confess whatever it is that's drawn you away, Jesus will forgive you and will draw you back to him. Because of the cross, all your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. And that's true for all of us. Once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, then, as it says in Romans 8, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't just for a select few or those who deserve it, because not one of us deserve it. It was for everyone, so everyone would have the opportunity to be saved. Jesus' message is, you don't need to attain a certain level of goodness before coming to Jesus. He's calling you to come now, just as you are, because he loves you. As it also says in Romans, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.